This is the only live and local morning show in the area. Interesting news, engaging talk, and news that affects you. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
My guest this morning is Morrow County District Attorney Justin Nelson. My conversation with him begins after this.
Every second of every day, an older adult in the U.S. suffers a fall. It's one of the most pressing health concerns facing older adults, and it's why at McKay Creek Estates, they're currently offering a free online fall risk assessment. In just 10 minutes, you can learn about your risk factors and ways to stay safe. The free assessment for McKay Creek Estates is available at fallriskassessment.com. That's fallriskassessment.com.
A Pendleton original, it's the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the KUMA Coffee Hour. I'm your host, Dan Tessman. Joining me this morning is Morrow County District Attorney Justin Nelson. And Justin, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Doing great. And Justin, I know that it's spring break time and you're actually joining us from, well, not in the office. You're enjoying a little time off with your family, I imagine.
That's right. It's one of those situations where my wife is a teacher, and, you know, of course, both my young kids are in school. So when the spring break comes, they definitely encourage me to try to take them someplace. So we're actually near the Oregon coast right now. Luckily, I have some aunt who has a place here close, so it works out pretty well. So we are on the coast right now, but of course, like it is many times on the Oregon coast, it is raining and pretty wet. But I also hear that it's the same over, and, you know, back at home. We've had some, my mother talked to me yesterday about a thunderstorm that came through Heppner. I saw pictures over in Tollgate of snow. So I guess it just says rainy or snowy or thundery over at home, and all I have is rain. So I guess I can't complain too much.
All right. Well, Justin, I wanted to get your thoughts now that the Oregon legislative session has wrapped up. Your thoughts on that?
You know, when I was here last talking, we were still in the session. And the thing is, you know, we saw how certain bills were going, but particularly near the end of the session, things can change a lot. A lot of times we've heard the term stuff and gut, which means like a bill that came in meaning one thing, all the words get taken out and amended to a whole new type of bill. And so that's always one of those worries you have during the legislative session. And you also had the worries in this session about what was going to happen with, you know, some of the changes to Measure 110. As a background, Measure 110 was the measure that was passed that decriminalized drug use in Oregon. Prior to that, possession of methamphetamine was a misdemeanor offense, which had already been changed just years prior from a felony down to a misdemeanor, and then was changed from a misdemeanor to a ticket, basically a $100 ticket that if a person called a hotline just to, you know, talk to them about treatment, that ticket went away. Well, they never had to do the treatment, of course, but just calling, the ticket, the fine would go away. Even being that easy, almost no one called. And so these $100 fines, less than a speeding ticket, just got entered in the system, never enforced, and as you saw in the news, rampant drug use around Oregon. You know, and not just the drug use, the homeless issues increase, and you also saw, through my side of the system, increase in property crimes. You know, you saw, you know, these drug use has to be fed somehow, and it's usually by stealing property, you know, have to feed your habit to buy the drugs. So I was very interested to see what changes the legislature were going to make for Measure 110. And just to be clear, this is a big thing. This is primarily a Democratic House and Senate in Oregon. And this is a very progressive bill, you know, or not bill, but, you know, Measure 110. And for our local legislators to see, not our local ones, but ones in Portland, to see the negative consequence of Measure 110 was really, it was surprising. And I was very surprised also to see almost everyone wanting to make changes. Some wanted to make even larger changes, change it maybe back to a felony or a misdemeanor offense, which is a more serious misdemeanor. Others wanted to keep it the way that it was. But really, at the end, I think we made some great changes to Measure 110. We recriminalized drug use. It is now an unclassified misdemeanor, but has the same type of effect as a Class B misdemeanor offense. It's a way to hold offenders accountable and really try to encourage them to get treatment. that has been the focus to every district attorney I've talked to, is trying to give that incentive of a person to do treatment. And a fine, there is no incentive. In this particular situation with Measure 110, there's a lot of funding that went into counties and programs that want to help with, we call them diversion or deflection programs. I kind of prefer the term diversion. When you think about drunk driving diversion, many individuals who have been arrested for the first time for drunk driving are given the opportunity of what's called a diversion program. Whereas if they do certain classes, treatment, that case goes away. Many individuals you know, you might not be aware of it, have been arrested for drunk driving probably and gone through a diversion program. That was the one thing that set them straight, realized I should not be drinking and driving anymore, and it's been successful in Oregon. And so as a part of this Measure 110, they asked, you know, different counties and elected officials to kind of write a letter of support to the legislature saying, hey, if you make these changes, we're willing to help. We're willing to be a part of the solution. And so I'm happy to say that I was able to work with Community Counseling Solutions Director Kimberly Lindsay, Moore County Commissioner Roy Drago Jr., Moore County Sheriff John Bowles, to write a letter to the legislature saying Moore County's on board. You know, we are willing to work, if we can recriminalize drug use, to work on like a diversion program. Things like this, where if a person's arrested for drug use, we give them the option for treatment. And if they successfully complete treatment, then that case may be dismissed or will be dismissed. Unlike prior with Measure 110, where you had a ticket and you hope that the person on their own initiative would do treatment, this allows us to have that little the hammer over the head, that incentive to complete treatment, because there's going to be hard days. Every day is hard for an addict. And just the idea of saying, hey, if I complete this, my records could stay clean. Or if I complete this, I might not go to jail, and this case can be dismissed. That's the incentive we're trying to give individuals for those hard days. When they have those addictions, they want to use drugs again, but they realize, ooh, my probation officer may catch me. I might have to do a test, and they realize I'm under the influence. And so that's what we've really did here in Morrow County. I'm happy to see the changes. In short, that's what I'm happy to see. I am really happy to see let's just pass these changes. I think we'll see some positive changes here in the future because of this. I really want to take this time also to thank our local legislators, you know, Bobby Levy, Greg Smith, Bill Hansel. I mean, their job is not easy. I realize that the majority, again, of the House and the Senate in Oregon is Democratic. You know, Republicans are not able to push through bills. They can hope to make changes. They can hope to talk, become, you know, close friends with the other individuals in the legislature, and I think we are very lucky to have three local here in Morrow and Umatilla counties to do a masterful job with that. They were able to, you know, propose changes that got accepted to help their communities here, and so I appreciate their work. And I think particularly the ones I work with the most, Senator Bill Hansel, Greg Smith, they always take my calls. They always respond to my emails or my feedback, so I appreciate that. They are so busy, but they take the time to talk with me about my concerns on certain bills and what changes I would like to see happen. So I thank them for their service. And also, I guess, you know, wish Senator Bill Hansel a happy retirement. I know he's not running again. This was his last session. And I just appreciate all the years he's done and everything he's given back to our communities here. So I appreciate their work, and it's not easy for them to be gone. You know, they usually have other full-time jobs or do other jobs. And then all of a sudden, a short session takes 35 days, I believe, and then the regular session could go, you know, four or five months, it seems like. So there's a lot of dedication there. So hopefully we look forward and see these changes coming in the future.
All right. Well, thanks for that. We're going to take our first break talking this morning with Morrow County District Attorney Justin Nelson. We will be right back.
Do you have a great business idea for downtown Pendleton? You could earn a $20,000 grant to fund your new business. Hi, this is Rob Zimmel, owner of Sarabella Winery, Pendleton. I was a 2022 grant winner, and I'm in my third year of business. Applying is easy. Just apply online today at PendletonUrbanRenewal.com by April 26. Realize your dream like I did and apply today at PendletonUrbanRenewal.com.
Stop in and visit the Community Thrift Shop in downtown Pendleton. It's no ordinary secondhand store. This little gem offers a boutique experience at thrift store prices. Stop in, and stop in often, as the gently used donations hit the shelves daily. Your donations of gently used vintage and antique items are always appreciated. Open Tuesday through Saturday at 10. Follow Community Thrift Shop on Facebook, and remember, all proceeds from the Community Thrift Shop proudly support Heritage Station Museum.
Destination is on your bucket list. The Walla Walla Regional Airport can get you there with 101 one-stop destinations through Seattle. Is a Broadway musical in New York singing out your name, or laying on the beach with a margarita in the Mexican Riviera? Check out your bucket list destinations on alaskaair.com and be sure to enter ALW to start your trip from your home airport, where you always have free parking. Book your tickets today and fly Walla Walla.
Live and local, it's the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Once again, joining me this morning, Morrow County District Attorney Justin Nelson. And Justin, while I have you this morning, give us an update on elections. I know it's going to be a busy year. We got the May primary and the November general election.
That's right. And just for folks who, well, like many individuals who might not be paying attention to elections until you get that ballot in the mail, I guess this is my time to kind of remind individuals, election season's already going on. Since the last time I talked, the filing deadline to be in the primary or general election has passed. And so right now, the seats are kind of set. Who's going to be running, who's withdrawn, it's been done right now. And so you really can sit back and look at who's running for office right now and start digging in and learning about the individuals. I really want to just talk about a few elections that people really don't ever consider. All right, I know you always think about the president, of course, state, you know, the federal, state, and senator, state house, you know, senators, things like that. But really, I want to have the listeners try to focus in on those local elections that matter to their everyday lives even more. And one I think they don't think about enough is the circuit court election. Okay. Of course, this is a great deal of interest to me since I work with these judges that might be elected to the circuit court. And I think it's a reminder for everyone, particularly the first thing, is that, yes, judges are elected. You know, a lot of times you might think of a judge as being appointed, but they run for office every 6 years. They, you know, they are elected individuals. You need to look, learn about these individuals and vote how you see fit. Many times you'll see that a lot of these elections don't have any, you know, they're not contested elections. I'd say the majority of the elections I recall for circuit court usually were not contested. You only had one person to vote. But this year is different. This year is absolutely different. You have two races that are competitive. So first, they are elected individuals. You should do your research on these individuals, just like you would with anyone else for any other, you know, measure, you know, local election, federal election. Do your research. You know, there's a lot of social media out there that people can post information about. They may have web pages, but they also many times will come and talk at local events. Go. Ask questions, push back to these individuals. I know sometimes judges have a tendency to be a little bit broad in their responses, but push back on it. Try to get some answers to your concerns and questions. So these are the judges, though, that really can directly affect you. These judges preside over estate cases, civil cases, criminal, divorces, child custody, you know, cases where children are taken into the custody of the state and their families. And when you sit back and think about it, judges can directly affect your life more than a House, Senate member, even your city council. These judges can affect you and your family members. So they are a very important position to be watching out for. And I think what's also unique about our circuit court judges is that our judges are elected by both Morrow and Umatilla counties voting together. That's the only election like this right now, really, that you have both the votes of Morrow and Umatilla counties are combined together to decide who wins that election. And that's because our circuit court is the sixth judicial district, and that is made up of two counties, Morrow and Umatilla County. And so those judges serve both counties. And it's, you know, kind of a unique situation even throughout the state. Not many districts are made up of more than one county. Majority of them, just one county. But here, it is both. And so it's a large area for these judges to cover. Sadly, I always say our judges are only in Pendleton and Hermiston most of the time, but they do come over to Morrow County when needed. So Morrow County, this is important. listen to these, watch these elections here. And so right now we actually have, as I mentioned, two contested judicial elections this year. In one election, there are actually four local attorneys trying to be elected to replace, and I guess to fill the position that was once held by retired Judge Christopher Brower. Now, I'll say, Judge Brower, he is retired now, but he's now a senior judge. That's a part that he can fill in throughout the state when there's a, when they need to have a judge fill in for a week or so or a few days. And so you may still hear Judge Brower's name, but he's as a senior judge. So his spot is open now. And those four attorneys are local attorneys here, John Ballard, Jill Wygant, Jameson Hayes, and Joanna Maricos, four individuals running for that office. Another election you'll see is another where local attorney Thomas Creasing has filed to run against Judge Robert Collins. And so, again, another contested election here. So, again, please take the time, research those elections for the judge. I think they are very important, and people, I sadly think, they don't consider those very often. The other, I think, election of interest here, particularly for Morrow County, is a commissioner position. Commissioner Roy Drago Jr. was appointed to his position by the other two commissioners to fill an open position. So he was appointed and been filling that spot as an appointed commissioner. And, of course, after being appointed, this meant he needed to run in the next election. And right now we actually have three other individuals filing to run for that office for a current of four people running for the Morrow County commissioners. That is current Commissioner Roy Drago Jr., Kelly Doherty, Gus Peterson, and Rick Drake. And so with those individuals all running for that election, the unique thing also is the first election, our primary election, is on May 21st, okay? Not too far away. That's why you're going to start seeing a lot of signs out there. You're going to see a lot of town hall events and signs and probably hear on the radio ads, things like that. So that's on the May 21st. And the main thing for the May election is to see if anyone receives over 50% of the vote. If anyone receives over 50% of the vote on elections I've talked about so far, they are presumptively the elected official at that point. There is their only name that goes to the general election in November. But in many cases, those votes get split, and so no one receives over 50%. And so in those cases, the top two will go to that general election in November. So from my prior experience running for office, of course, I realized the importance of trying to get that 50% in May, because if not, you're waiting a long time, a lot more time and money running for an election that's not until November. So please keep an eye on these elections. And there's a lot more out there. I just talked about a few of them, but read that pamphlet. When it comes in the mail, there's a voter's pamphlet. Read them. It gives some background on an individual. And there's a lot of information out there on the internet, the radio, the newspaper. So keep an eye out.
Well, Justin, I appreciate you telling people to do their research. It's something that I, am constantly repeating to folks, it's election time, and what's your take on this, and what's your take on that, that kind of thing. And it's important to do research. It's also just important to just get out and vote. We've talked about, voter turnout on this program with, commissioners and all those that, overseeing that. And, it's low, but as you pointed out, especially with the circuit court elections, these judges can influence people's lives and do impact people's lives and so on. So it's important to get out, have your voice heard, make a difference, and vote. So I appreciate you talking about the elections update. And again, looks like I got a lot of races here where a lot of people are involved. And so we'll just see how it all plays out. Well, we're going to take another break, come back, continue our conversation this morning, talking with Morrow County District Attorney Justin Nelson.
Miss a KUMA coffee hour? Download the podcast. Go to elkhornmediagroup.com. Live and local, it's the KUMA coffee hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Time to get the deck ready for summer. Zimmerman & Company True Value can get you started and has expert advice to give you a hand. Here's Terry to tell you more.
We've got all the sanding equipment, all the stains and deck paints.
Do you have a recommendation of when is a good time to paint?
Yeah, when it's above 65 degrees and humidity is, relatively low. I think across the board, you want to make sure it's in between that, 65 to 90 pretty much.
Zimmerman & Company True Value. Open 7 days a week on Main Street in Pendleton.
When warmer weather hits, the City of Pendleton wants to help you get out and enjoy our beautiful parks, attend social events, and gather with family and friends. The City of Pendleton can help you get there safely, and a lot of those services are free or only cost a few dollars. Go to the City of Pendleton's website, click the Departments tab to find the link for the transit page, and go out and enjoy our community.
Wild Horse Resort and Casino presents Allie Colleen in Hanley Slick Fork Saloon Saturday, April 6th. Straight from Nashville, Allie is no stranger to the music industry. A notable songwriter that just released her debut album, Stones, and a top 40 hit. Performance is scheduled on April 6th. Get your tickets now before it's sold out at wildhorseresort.com. Allie Colleen live April 6th at the Hanley Slick Fork Saloon, downtown Pendleton.
We bring the newsmakers to you here on the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Talking this morning with Morrill County District Attorney Justin Nelson. And Justin, before I let you go, it wouldn't be right to have an interview with you and not ask you to update the criminal docket. I mean, you are a district attorney.
That's right. Yeah, I talk about a lot of other things, but, you know, primary job course is the criminal docket here for Morrill County. A prosecution of the smallest case of a theft of a candy bar at a store all the way to a murder case. And so we handle all those cases in Morrill County, which is unique. There is no municipal court really in Morrill County. I think there is one in Irrigan that handles traffic, but for the criminal cases, those are all handled by the Morrill County District Attorney's Office. And we handle court in the Morrill County Circuit Court and also our Justice Court in Morrill County, which is kind of a unique court. And we've been very busy. You know, we've had a lot of different cases. But what's kind of unique is they're not ones that just stand out. You know, we have whole, you know, have a lot of maybe assault, four cases, theft cases, drunk driving, things like that. And we've seen an increase, really, in a lot of these type of cases. Just the workload's increased overall. And it's not just the criminal side. We've also seen an increase in civil cases, it seems like, in Morrill County. And many of those, you'll have some eviction cases over in our Justice Court, and then a lot of civil cases, other civil cases in our circuit court, like certain divorces, contract disputes, things like that. I really want to take this time to really kind of thank our, I've always appreciated the work of our Justice Court, Judge Deal. He's done a great job kind of setting those and working with us to get those covered, knowing the difficulty of our schedule, sometimes handling both two totally separate courts, a Justice Court and a circuit court, and trying to work together to cover those. I also want to thank the circuit court here recently. I've seen really them, what I've seen, honestly, is a big increase in some of our dockets, which is tough. You know, some of our days, you'll be there all day or more, just in court, going from case to case to case. And these are not trials. These are not trial dates where you're expecting to be there for days. These are, you know, 20 pages of pre-trials, things like that, status hearings, change the plea. And what the court's been doing, it looks like, is kind of combining more of those on certain days, at least a couple days a month. And then also that's freeing up some of these days to handle backlog civil cases. And that's what I want to really mention here is the fact that the circuit court is really taking, it looks like, an emphasis here to try to resolve a lot of these civil cases that get backlogged. Because in our judicial system, all civil cases are secondary to criminal ones. So even that low-level misdemeanor criminal case isn't, you know, takes a priority on a scheduling for a trial compared to like a 2 or 3 year old civil case. And so you have a lot of these individuals who have a contract disputes, divorces, condemnation cases where trying to value property or have government take your property, and these get dragged on and on. And so recently I've seen, you know, a lot of these cases get even more time, the civil cases. I see set dates where they really are handling a lot more of our juvenile dependency, where kids are taken away from families, seeing those cases resolved. Juvenile delinquency cases where juveniles who committed an act that may be a crime if they were an adult, those are also handled more on special days. And so we're getting these cases more resolved. As an example, I just saw a four-day condemnation trial, jury trial, take place here in Morrill County about 2 weeks ago. The case involved evaluation of property taken by Umatilla Electric Cooperative through condemnation to install electric transmission lines through this individual's property. The property owner really did not agree with the condemnation in the first place, and then also truly did not believe in the valuation that UEC had given for that easement across their property. And in the end, the jury heard the case for 4 days. This is a lot of expert testimony. the jury went out to the site. They had a buses pick them up and go out there. And when the jury came back, they did what juries a lot of times do. They kind of met in the middle. You know, they valued it higher than UEC valued it, but lower than what the property owner valued it. So that was kind of one of those cases to see. I was happy to see a case like that get resolved, because many times a case like that can drag on for a lot longer time. So it was a good thing to be able to get that 4 days of court time available here in the Moore County Circuit Court to utilize the court to resolve that issue. And so now, even though the property owner and UEC may not be happy maybe with the result, it's at least resolved. I mean, someone can appeal it, of course, but at least this part is resolved, and it's not being slowed down by the court system. So I'm hopeful we'll see a lot more cases like that. I'm hopeful we'll see more of these contract disputes get settled in our circuit court, divorces get processed, you know, things like that, estate cases, you know, trying to get resolved. So it's nice to see that. I appreciate the work of our circuit court really taking that as a priority to resolve these cases. And they're also still giving the criminal cases the time we need. And I think at the end, what I'm really seeing also is, honestly, the need for even another judge. And that's honestly what I see we need here in the circuit court. A judge full-time in Morrow County. I think that'll resolve a lot of issues. And again, like I've talked about before, these judges are not just for Morrow County. They'd be for Morrow and Umatilla County. A judge who's sitting in Morrow County Courthouse can still handle Umatilla County cases, just like the judges handle our in-custody matters and things like that while they're sitting in Hermiston or Pendleton and dial into Heppner and resolve our cases. So that's one of the things I'll be stressing for in the future. So if we get another judge, hopefully that judge can be in Morrow County to help handle our cases here, because we need it. Our caseload's increasing, both in criminal and civil, and it's just time, as a growing county, to have another judge added to our judicial district that's in Morrow County.
And Justin, speaking of caseload, we see a lot of headlines, you know, across the country talking about, you know, shortages of, you know, defense attorneys and so on. Talk about staffing and just how you're getting through all of this yourself in your office.
We've been very blessed. You know, we had our deputy district attorney position was filled pretty quick, and our office staff has not had a turnover. You know, I think I've only had one staff member leave during my time as district attorney since 2010. We've had to only fill our deputy DA position only twice now, and we got very lucky here recently. So other offices throughout the state are having a difficult time, not just Oregon, but throughout the nation. And it's not just prosecutors, but, you know, public defenders. So I am hopeful I don't have a position open back up, because it's not easy to fill. We got very lucky before. I know many other offices are having a very hard time filling deputy district attorney positions, and many public defense firms are having a hard time filling that. I actually see an increase in public defenders out there because of their increased pay they receive from the state. Remember, deputy district attorneys are paid by the county. The county decides the salary, not the state. Most public defenders paid by the state through the state funding. So it's difficult when the state starts paying a lot more. You'll lose prosecutors to public defenders who would decide to become public defenders instead because of the pay. And that's a concern I see coming forward.
All right. Well, Justin Nelson, again, Morrow County District Attorney. Justin, thank you so much for taking a half hour out of your vacation, if you will, and talking to us this morning. And we'll talk to you again real soon. Enjoy the rest of your time at the beach.
Thank you very much. You have a great day.
All right. That's going to do it for this edition of the KUMA Coffee Hour. We'll be back again tomorrow. Everybody have a marvelous Monday.
Depend on us for local news, sports, and weather. News Radio, FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.